Appreciate the special. Thank you, kids. Great job. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew this morning, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 19, and as you turn there, we do want to welcome visiting with us today, Jordan and Sarah from Waterford, PA, and Eric from Erie, PA. Good to have you folks with us today. Praise the Lord for you. We hope you'll come back and be with us as often as you can. You're always welcome. Matthew chapter 19, I'd like to begin reading at verse 13. You can follow with me. The Bible says, "Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence." Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for your great grace that brought salvation to us. We thank you for the blood of Christ who cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We thank you that salvation is by grace through faith. It's not of works. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather together in this place in freedom in this wonderful country and to preach the gospel and to worship in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, for those who've come out. And we thank you for those who are watching and those who are listening, and pray, my Lord, that you might open the lips of your servant to speak and the heart of every person to receive with meekness the engrafted word. And that, Father, you might accomplish your will in our lives and that you might guide and direct for your glory, that you might magnify yourself, glorify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. And, Lord, we'll certainly thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Bus Kid Sunday, and I believe that in these verses before us this morning, we find the heart of the Lord Jesus toward children, as well as the heart of the bus ministry. We find this account in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But what's going on in this scene which we find ourselves viewing in Matthew chapter 19? Well, folks had heard that the Lord Jesus was in town. They'd heard of his miracles. They'd heard of his teachings. They've heard of his love. And they knew that there was something about this man that was unlike any other. And they brought their children to him, asking him to pray for them and to bless them. And it was actually indicative of two things. Number one, that they acknowledged who he was, the Son of God. And number two, that because they loved their children, they wanted his blessing upon them. In short, they were parents or relatives or friends bringing children to Christ. Look what it says. Then were there brought unto him little children. Doesn't say who it was. Could have been parents, could have been friends, neighbors, relatives. But they were brought to Jesus. And who better to take our children to? Who better than to take all children to than the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, you can take children to see a famous athlete or a famous performer or a famous politician or a famous educator or a famous hero or a famous religious leader, but they can never give to them and do for them what will happen when you bring them to Jesus, because he's the only one that can give them eternal life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And do we not the same also? Do we not bring our own children to Sunday school and church in order that they might know Jesus? Do not we also care about our children and grandchildren knowing him who is to know eternal life? What disturbs me greatly is that people will take their children to a fake Santa Claus, but not to a true Savior, Jesus Christ. They'll stand in line in a department store, but won't get up and go to church. They will present their child to a man who can and will give them nothing, but will not take their child to him who can and will give them eternal life and all good things. The problem is too many children see Santa as reality and Jesus as only a story. So here are these folks bringing children to Christ. And what do Jesus' disciples do? It says they rebuked them. Can you imagine that? They were telling these people, no, 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 don't bring your children over here. Don't bother Jesus with little children. He's too busy for your children. They turned them away. They forbid them. This morning, it was my joy to hear and see these kids singing for the glory of God. It's a joy to see them running around the church. They sometimes run. Yes. And they sometimes get noisy, but they're kids. Sometimes they say the wrong thing. And sometimes they do the wrong thing. But they're sinners. Just like you. But they're still kids. Sometimes we should expect of ourselves what we expect of the bus kids. Sometimes we should expect of our own children what we expect of the bus kids. The bus ministry affords our church an opportunity to bring the little children to Jesus. It also affords us the opportunity to obey the Lord's parable in Luke chapter 14, where the Lord says, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. If we only bring our own children, we're no better than publicans. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 46 and 47, the Bible says, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? If we're only concerned about our own children knowing Jesus, we're no better than the publicans. Because publicans are concerned about their own kids, but they're not concerned about other people's kids. The publicans would take their kids perhaps to church, but not other kids. If we see church as a place for our own families only, so do the publicans. The bus ministry is a labor of love, not only for the children, but a love for the Lord. Let me share a few things with you from the Bible concerning children this morning. Number one, bring the children. Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. This same account is recorded in Mark chapter 10, verse 14, where the Lord Jesus' response to his disciples is mentioned. These people were bringing their children to Jesus. What did the disciples do? They said, no. They forbid them. They rebuked them. They said, don't be bringing those kids around here. And what did it do? The Bible says in Mark chapter 10, verse 14, that he was displeased. It didn't please Jesus when the children were told not to be brought to him. He said here in our verse, suffer little children. That word suffer is the Greek word aphiemi. It means permit. And so Jesus is saying, allow them to come. Permit them to come. Don't stop them. There is an account of a preacher telling another preacher one day. He said 2.5 people got saved today in church. The other preacher said, oh, two adults and one child? And the first preacher said, no, two children and one adult. You see, when a child gets saved, they have a whole life to live for Jesus. But when an adult gets saved, they have less than a whole life to live for Jesus. Friends, children are where it's at. Jesus knew that. And he knew that like little sponges, children soak in everything around them. What they see, what they hear, and what they experience. There's an old saying, as the twig is bent, so grows the tree. Let me ask you this. When does the world begin bending the twig? As children. When are the morals and ethics and attitudes formed as children? When is our worldview influenced the most as children? Who follows in footsteps? Children. That's why Jesus said, bring them to me. I've often wondered, you know, when a child comes to Jesus, not only that child's eternal destiny is changed, but so is the trajectory of his or her life. We saw that on the video today. Adult after adult saying, my life was changed because someone came to my door. My life was changed and my family was changed because someone took me on a bus to church. I often wondered what would have been like if a church had run a bus route through my neighborhood when I was a child. If a bus worker would have come by every week and encouraged me to come to church and encouraged my parents to send me. I wonder what it would have been like. I was introduced to pornography in grade school. I was introduced to alcohol before I had a driver's license. I was drinking in bars as a regular at the age of 17. I eventually began doing dope and then selling it at the age of 19. And what were the influences toward this kind of life? It wasn't Sunday school. Didn't influence me to that. It wasn't church that influenced me to that. No, it was family members and friends and school and tough guys in the neighborhood. You see, I didn't grow up in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. I don't know what would have happened to me if the Lord Jesus had not come and found me at the age of 23 and saved me and cleansed me and made me a new creature in Christ. Everything I am and everything I've accomplished is because Jesus came for me. Now, what might have been will never be. But I can't help but wondering what might have happened if someone ran a bus route through my neighborhood and brought me to Jesus as a child instead of waiting till I was 23. I could have had a head start on the ministry if I'd have got saved when I was a little child. How many mistakes, how much misery, and how much mayhem might have been spared me if someone had taken me to Jesus as a child. And I want you to understand, young people in here today, if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, and your parents are bringing you to church, that's one of the biggest blessings that you'll thank God for later on in life. An opportunity I didn't have. But an opportunity these bus kids have. They have an opportunity I didn't have. Now, if God could take someone like me at the age of 23... and save me and call me and use me. Just think what he can do with some of these bus kids that he calls at 8 or 9 or 10. Amen. Or whatever. Some bus kid is going to heaven. Some bus kid will learn the Bible. Some bus kid will gain wisdom and insights that will lead him or her the rest of their lives. Some bus kid will be positively impacted by a Sunday school teacher for good. Some bus kid will become a preacher or a pastor or a missionary or a God-fearing mom or dad. Some bus kid will become a new creature in Christ because a bus route went through his or her neighborhood and brought them to Jesus, and because somebody cared about somebody else's kids. And some bus kid's parent might get saved. And some bus kid's home might be changed. And the church might have new families and new friends and new brothers and sisters in Christ and new co-workers in the ministry because a bus route went through a neighborhood. Little children are the future. They're the future of our church. They're the future of our country. Little children, not just yours, but also those of the neighborhoods where the bus route goes. Point number two. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. Look at verse 14 again. The second thing is we need to become as little children. You see, we need to bring little children, but we need to become as little children. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. What does the Lord mean by, for as such is the kingdom of heaven? Well, in order to understand this, you have to turn to chapter 18 and look at verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said that unless we become converted, and in order to be converted, we had to become as little children. He said, unless you become converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That word converted means turn around. So many, listen, as adults, we're headed in the wrong direction. He said, you know what? We're running away from childhood. He said, you know what? In order to be saved, you need to turn around and become a little kid again in order to be saved. We need to be more like children. You know, as we get older, we goober everything up, don't we? Life is so simple for little kids, right? It's so uncomplicated for little kids. The older we get, the more complicated we make it. The harder we make life. We become cynical and jaded and opinionated and hard-hearted. We become suspecting and mistrusting and on and on and on, don't we? We lose the faculty of childlike innocence and childlike faith. Little children believe what they're told. That's why it's so important what we tell them. Little children imitate what they see. That's why it's so important what we show them. Little children accept what they hear. That's why it's so important what we teach them. Little children incorporate what they learn. That's why it's so important we be an example to them. And sadly, little children die every day. Why is the bus ministry important? They're just kids. They die too. We need to reach them for Jesus. How about their parents? They need Jesus too, don't they? Bringing a child to Christ secures their eternal destiny early. According to verse 4, children have a humility about them that causes them to accept what adults and authority figures tell them. Now, when I went to school in the first grade, my teacher said, 1 + 1 = 2. I believed her. I didn't know if 1 + 1 = 2. I didn't know what a 1 or a 2 was, but she said 1 + 1 = 2. I believed her. Why? Because she's my teacher. Who are the teachers of the children? For a child, it's easy to admit to sin. As a child, it's easy to believe. As we get older, it becomes harder. As adults, we have to understand everything. Children don't. As adults, we have too many whys and what ifs. Children don't. We have too many I thinks. Children don't. They just believe. You see, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. I like that. It's a gift of God, not of works. lest any man should boast. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As adults, we analyze it, we scrutinize it, we inspect it, we dissect it, we reject it. Children believe it and receive it. You know, my daughters, when they were little children, they kept asking me why. And those of you that have children, you know about the why stage, right? I remember my daughter, "Well, Daddy, why is the grass green? Daddy, why is the sky blue?" And I would say, she'd say, "Why is the grass green, Daddy?" I'd say, "Because God made it green." "Why is the sky blue?" "Because God made it blue." That was enough. Okay. I could have said, "Well, plants use a green pigment called chlorophyll. And through photosynthesis, the plant uses the stored energy to convert carbon dioxide absorbed from the air and water into glucose, a type of sugar." And my little child would have said, "Huh?" But really, in the end, because God made it that way. That's why. Why is chlorophyll produce green, and why does photosynthesis take place? Because God made it that way. So really, in the end, the child just wants to know, why is that working? And you just say, "Because God made it that way." And they say, "Oh, it's good enough for me." As adults, we get all caught up in the scientific answers, when in reality, the final answer is, God made it that way. The kingdom of God will be filled with those who became as little children and just believed the word of God and received the Lord Jesus as their Savior. They took the word of God at face value and believed on Jesus. That's it. When we get old and get older, we got to work for it, we got to earn it, we got to deserve it. You know, that's the American way. I'm all for the American way, but not when it comes to salvation. Salvation is a free gift. And children like free gifts. We are, number one, to bring the little children. And then number two, we need to become as little children. And my third point is found in Ephesians chapter 5, if you'd like to turn there as well. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. My third point is this. We need to behave like children. We need to behave like little children. Ephesians chapter 5, look what it says, verse 8. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Those who know Christ as their Savior are called the children of God. Here, we're called the children of light. Why? Because in 1 John 1:5, the Bible says, God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. When we are born again into God's family, spiritually, by faith, we become God's children. And since He is light, we are the children of light. He has delivered us from darkness. He's translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the light of His dear Son. We went from the world of darkness to the world of light through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way. Amen. You can never pass from darkness into light unless you go through the door of the Lord Jesus. He said, "I am the door." Unless you go through the way that leads from darkness to light. And Jesus said, "I am the way." I want you to notice in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 that we are children, we were children of darkness, but have become children of light. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new." What was I over here? As a child of darkness. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. When am I over here? A child of light. I'm a new creature. This is new over here. Old things, the things of darkness, have passed away. All things, the things of God, are become new. This was an old life over here, but because I came to Jesus, He gave me a new life over here. Now I get to live a life over here in the light with the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Second Peter 1:4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. God's nature is light, therefore we share in the nature of God, the light. So then, the apostle says that since we are children of light, or children of God, we should behave like children of God. The last thing children need to see are children of God not behaving like children of God. The last thing children need to see are the children of light not living like children of light. Why? Because we are the example. They are the sponge. You understand? When a person receives Christ as Savior, they are given a new nature and a new life and the power to live it in the light of God's Word. And let me say this, once a child, always a child. I heard people say, well, I don't like that phrase, once saved, always saved. Okay, how about once a child, always a child? How's that? That's more accurate anyway. Once a child, listen, I was born to my parents, George and Myrna Alquist. And they've been my parents all my natural life. They're both in heaven, but they're still my parents. I can't do anything about it. I am their son. Like it or lump it, good or bad, I'm their son, right? When I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I became a child of God. I can't undo it. You can't be unborn again any more than you can be unborn once you're born. I mean, do you ever get to a point in your life where you say, well, I wish I was never born? Too bad, can't do anything about it. Once you get born again, you can't get unborn again. You're a child. You're a child of God. Now, you can be a good child, or you can be a bad child. You can be a disobedient child, or you can be an obedient child. But you're still a child. Even as adults, God sees us as children. We get so proud of ourselves. We're so educated. We're so mature. Huh, mature. Just ask my wife. If I'm She'll tell you how mature I am. But God sees us as little children, doesn't He? Jesus called His disciples children in John 13:33. And Paul calls the Galatians children in Galatians 4:19. And John calls Christians children 8 times in 1 John. We think we're adults, but to God we're just little children. And you know what? He puts up with us, if I can put it that way, as much as we think we have to put up with little children. You know, we see these children running around and they're making noise and they got all that energy. Don't you wish you had some of that energy, folks? Amen. Instead of getting all upset, wow, those kids are running all around. I'd say, man, I'd like to run around like that a little bit. How do you think God sees your life? What do you think you're doing? Oh, those bus kids, they're unruly. What do you think you are? Huh? Even when we are sometimes disobedient, we're still His children. In John chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Did you hear that? I give unto them what kind of life? Eternal life. How long is eternal? Forever. He said they shall never perish. It doesn't say, well, they won't perish if they keep themselves saved. It doesn't say, well, they won't perish if they just keep their noses clean. It doesn't say, well, you know, they won't perish if they just toe the line. No, it says they shall never perish. Why? Because my never perishing doesn't depend on me. It depends on the eternality and the intercession and the blood of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says He ever liveth to make intercession for me. So as long as He ever liveth and makes intercession for me, I'm safe. Once we're born into God's family by faith in Christ, we can behave or we can misbehave, but we're still His children. And as children, behaving brings blessing and misbehaving brings chastening. It's just, see how simple it is? There's a parent who said, brought his child over and said, "What happens when you're bad?" And the kid went, "He knows, it's simple, right? See how simple it is? If you behave, you get an ice cream cone. If you don't behave, you don't get an ice cream cone. That's simple. We get it all goobered up. We make it so complicated. We try to make fine lines. No, you know what? If you behave, you get blessed by God. If you don't behave, you get chastened by God. It's just that simple. If we want to become God's children, we must come to Him with childlike faith. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're not a child of God. I'm not saying you don't know who Jesus is. I'm not saying you don't believe that Jesus came. And you may even believe He died on a cross. You may even believe He rose again. You may believe that Christmas is the birth of Christ. And that's all true. But until you make it personal, until you receive Him personally as your Savior, you're not a child of God. You haven't been born again. And the only way you can come is as a little child, simply believing because Jesus said it. Simply believing because the Bible says it. I remember when I first got saved, people would say, "How do you know you're saved?" Because the Bible says so. Right? Sometimes you don't feel saved. But you don't know you're saved because of how you feel. You know you're saved because of what you know. And what do you know? You know the Bible says so. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So have you called upon the name of the Lord? Yes, then you're saved. If you've trusted Christ your Savior, you're saved. When you don't feel like it, just remember what the Bible says. It's simple. If we're going to please the Lord, we must be about the business of bringing children to Him. What displeased Him? Shutting the doors. Don't let all them kids in here. That displeases Him. You know what pleases Him? Bring them in. Let's get them to Jesus. If we're going to be blessed children, we must behave ourselves as the children of God. We need to bring them. We need to be like them. And we need to behave so that we can be an example to them. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask you just a few questions before we close the service. You're here today and you are born again. You are saved and you know it for sure. Would you lift your hand up just as a testimony? Thank you. You can put them down. I want to ask you this. What is your attitude toward the bus ministry? Have you become a grumpy old person about it? You know, as I get older, I find there's a tendency to get cranky and grumpy, especially when it comes to children. We dare not allow ourselves to go that way. Do you care about bringing children to Jesus? Are you praying for the bus ministry? Are you willing to have a part in it? That some kid someday might be an adult and say, "I remember Mrs. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so that came and brought me to church or led me to Jesus." Are you praying for the bus kids? Instead of complaining about the bus kids, why don't we pray for the bus kids? Do you pray for their parents? Are you yourself walking as a child of light Or have you been misbehaving? If these bus kids follow you as an example, what will they be like? Where will they go? What will they do? How will they live? And then maybe you're here this morning, you're watching, you're listening, you've never been saved. This is a moment of truth for you. What will you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? What will you do with what you've heard this morning? Will you believe and receive Christ as a little child, or will you reject Him as Savior? Will you spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell? It all depends on what you do with Jesus Christ. How shall we escape, the Bible says, if we neglect so great salvation? Dear adult, there are things much more important than money and more important than things and more important than having a good time. Matthew said, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You see, there's nothing you can do to forgive your own sins and save your own soul. That's why Jesus had to come to earth. God had to become a man. He had to pay the price because you had nothing to pay the price with. So He died on the cross to pay for your sins. And He rose again from the dead with the authority and the power to offer you the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. And all He expects of you is to be like a little child and believe Him and receive Him this morning. Perhaps there's someone in this auditorium this morning who would say, "Preacher, I need to ask Jesus to forgive my sins and be my Savior. I want to become a child of God." If that's what you want to do, I want to help you. And you can pray right where you sit, in the privacy of your own heart and mind, and receive Christ as a Savior today. Would you do that? If you would like to pray and trust Christ as your Savior, I want you to look up at me. Nobody else looking up, just you. And you're saying, "Preacher, I'm here. I've heard what you had to say. And I'm ready to trust Jesus as my Savior right now, right here." Anybody like that here today? If you're watching or listening, you need to stop whatever you're doing. And you need to bow your head right now and confess your sin to God and ask Jesus to be your Savior and trust Him for the gift of eternal life. Father, we thank You today. Lord, we love You and praise You and thank You. And Lord, I pray You'd help us to look beyond our own gate, look out beyond our own house, and see those around us who need Christ as Savior, whether they be children, whether they be adults. Father, I pray You'd help us to win people to Christ, to be witnesses and testimonies, examples that will lead folks to Jesus. I pray for the bus route and I pray for the bus kids. And Father, they might find here people who love them, care about them, people who want them to be here, and people who can be an example and testimony of what it means to be a Bible-believing Christian. I pray You'd help us, Lord, to be ministers one to another of the gospel of Christ and the Word of God. Guide us and direct us in our invitation. We'll give You all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn. Our closing hymn is number 133. Would you take your hymn books? Turn to 133. Now listen, here's the invitation this morning. Perhaps God's spoken to your heart about the bus ministry. And perhaps you'd like to come and say, "Lord, I don't know what I can do or how much of it I can do, but I want to give myself to have some kind of part in reaching kids for Christ. I want to help somehow, some way." Why don't you come? He'll guide you. He'll direct you. You come and give yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Maybe you're here this morning, and there's something in your life that you know is not a good example for the children. Maybe you need to come and say, "Lord, help me change that." Maybe this morning you need to come and say, "Lord, I've had a bad attitude about the bus ministry. I've had a bad attitude about bus kids. I need to get that straightened out." You come and pray. And listen, if you're not sure you're going to heaven and you would like to trust Christ as your Savior, you have questions, we got answers right from the Bible. you come on up and meet me. We'll have somebody show you before you leave how you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. All right? As we sing 133.